Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The outer court represents the sacrifice and the forgiveness of sin. The inner place there, the holy place, represents the daily life. But you go a little bit further and you enter into the most important place. It is the secret place. It is where the very presence of God dwells above the Ark of the Covenant.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Word of God to your life and mine in the 91st Psalm. I've been telling you for 2 weeks now, this being the third week, this 16-verse chapter right here is literally packed to the brim with promises. It is full of provision. It is full of blessings. It is full of God saying, here's what I'll do, here's what I'll do, here's what I'll do. But have you ever been like me, truth seeker? Have you ever looked at all that God has available for you, all that God has waiting for you, all that God has said He will do? And then look at your own life and the circumstances you're living in and the emotions that have you bowed down and the mental struggles that you're having. You look at the Word, you see all that God says, you look at your life and you wonder, what am I missing? What am I missing here? Well, welcome to Truth Infusion. My name is David Markham, and this is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. You can follow us online at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. So, if you have not caught these last two shows, this is the third part of a teaching series that we have entitled Living in Psalm 91. If you've missed the first two, you go to truthinfusion.com, you look in the broadcasting page. Click on broadcasting and you're going to find all the shows are right there, easily accessible. Stream them to your phone, to your iPad, to your whatever streams. There's so many devices out there today, to your computer. And you can catch up with us. Living in Psalm 91. What does that mean? Just very easily, it means this. We can be readers of the Word, which we should be. But I want to be an experiencer of the Word. I don't even know if experiencer is a real word, but you know what I'm talking about. I want to be one that doesn't just read it and know what God said once upon a time. I want to be one that experiences the truth and the power of the Word of God to my life every day. It's the existential aspect of being a child of God, the experiential aspect. I'm tired of being one of those that reads all about me but doesn't get to live that. And here just recently, that's where I was. You know, I'm going through some things in our life and our family. God is teaching and learning and growing all of us. But you know what? I found hope in Psalm 91, because some of the promises in those fantastic verses I just read a few moments ago, I read those in a difficult time of life, and I thought, God, I need that now. I need that alive and well in me right now, in my life. In my life. I need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In my life, I need you to deliver me from the snare of the fowler. In my life, I need to be able to say, no evil shall befall me. In my life, I need that part right there where you say, I will deliver you. I will set you on high. In that part where you said, you will call and I will answer. I need that, God. Why am I reading all about these promises and not living in them? And that was the beginning. That was the beginning. And God began to take me on a bit of a journey, learning how to live in the promises of Psalm 91. And that's what we've been working on. I told you that the key to this is the fact that most all relational promises, these are promises that are not God's covenant. There's times, and I'm not teaching that today, where God cuts a covenant with man. When he cuts covenant, God is not relying on us to do anything. He's going to do what he said because he is covenant. He has cut a covenant with himself, actually. And he's going to do what he told himself he's going to do. But sometimes God says, here's some things I will do. I will make this available for you. I will offer this to you. But for you to receive this one, you've got to do this first. For you to get access to the available promise, you've got to meet the requirement. You've got to meet the condition. The requirement or the condition that unlocks the promises and the blessings of all these benefits in Psalm 91 is found in the first verse, the first line of the first verse, where God says through the psalmist, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There's the key. And I spent time last week explaining that the secret place is not just pretty language, a pretty writing. It's not just poetic. It is not figurative. It is a literal, real, physical location. And when the man wrote this, Psalm 91, verse 1, when he wrote the secret place, he was talking about a real live place. And that actual place was found in the tabernacle, the Old Testament, specifically the secret place is the Holy of Holies. In the tabernacle. If you want to really grab a hold of some of the detail work where I led everybody last week, you got to go listen to the show. Here's what I want you to know. Just a brief little overview, and then we're going to go forward with the next part of this teaching. The secret place is the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies within the tabernacle. But to get to the Holy of Holies, you've got to cross through a couple of other areas of the tabernacle before you enter the door through the veil into the Holy of Holies. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to come into the outer court of the tabernacle. It is an open-air courtyard, if you will, full of priests that are working nonstop. They are continuously sacrificing for the sins of the children of Israel at that time, you know, in the Old Testament days. This was the busiest place of the tabernacle. I told you this last week, but this week you're going to understand why I want you to understand that the most crowded, the most active area in the tabernacle ground was in the outer court, where all of these priests were continuously going through the processes of sacrificing and burning on the altar and cleansing at the bronze laver. And all that was going on there was representative of the sacrifice that brings the forgiveness of sin. And the people were always sinning, so the priests were always working, and they were always doing this. But here's the sad thing about the priest's work in the tabernacle in the outer court of the Old Testament is they were working, and never really accomplishing. Because the book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats never was one sin forgiven because of a sacrifice in the Old Testament. Now, it was important that they continue to sacrifice. God had commanded it. He had showed them just how to do it. But keep this in mind, because it's going to play a part in just a few minutes. They performed, in those days, millions and millions and millions of sacrifices, and not one of them ever affected the forgiveness of one single sin. Okay? Keep that in mind. As they worked from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, sacrificing animals. So you walk through that courtyard, the outer court. You walk into the tent of meeting itself. Within the tabernacle grounds, there was the large tent on the back side of this courtyard. And you walk into the tent, and the first room right there is the holy place. Now, here's what I want you to know. A lot of people in the outer court. Few people in the holy place. Few of the priests in the outer court ever come into the holy place. There's not nearly as much work being done in the holy place. There's very important things happening there. Very important, but not nearly as much work, less of a crowd, less activity. Fewer people make it this far. I told you last week that the holy place represents the everyday life of the child of God, because you have the table of showbread, and that bread represents the provision of God for everyday needs. Jesus was the bread of life, is the bread of life. Across the room is the golden candlestick, the menorah, representing the activity and the action of the Holy Spirit, the oil there and the fire there, shedding light on everything that goes on in the holy place. Straight ahead from the door as you walk in is the altar of incense, burning continuously, sweet aroma before the Father. It represents the prayers and the worship of the people, continuously going up in communication with God. All of these three things combined look at the active and victorious life of a child of God that is living in the light of the Holy Spirit, that is being fed by the bread of life, which is Christ, that is constantly in communication with the Holy Spirit. This is representative of everyday life. Now, the outer court represents the sacrifice and the forgiveness of sin. The inner place there, the holy place, represents the daily life. But you go a little bit further and you enter into the most important place. It is the secret place. It is where the very presence of God dwells above the Ark of the Covenant. This is the secret place where God's presence remains. And he says, as long as you operate the way I say in the tabernacle, I will remain here. You'll know where I am. He does not change. He does not move. And we today are the secret place. He does not live in a tabernacle made with the hands of man. He now lives in the heart of man. The presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, has moved into you, His Holy of Holies. And the psalmist said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High can access the promises in the verses here. Okay, so the first question I ask God when I'm trying to figure out how to get in touch with these promises is, where is the secret place? It is the Holy of Holies. The second question, and what we want to deal with right now, is this. What's up with this word dwell? The idea of dwell. Well, the connotation behind the concept, you know, if you read the English word of dwell, it means, you know, to be somewhere on a constant basis. You might think of a dwelling, a place where you live, perhaps. And that's what I always thought when I read this. I thought, well, that's where you operate and you dwell and you live there. And there's some truth to that concept. It's not completely wrong. But when I began to study this word, I was blown away by what I found out. Because the real teaching here is not necessarily that it's just some place where you stay. It's more than that. It's bigger than that. It's more important than that, because the Hebrew word where we get the English word dwell is a word that means to sit down. All right? To sit down. Now, let me give you some information here. Because the Hebrew word to sit down, it doesn't mean just to take a seat. Because how many of you have ever been in a place, in a circumstance, in some situation, where you were sitting down, but you were not at rest? All right, immediately I think of perhaps someone that's in the seat, in a chair, having perhaps a lie detector test done, the polygraph, right? And you don't have to sit in that chair unless you are coming under great scrutiny. Amen? You're hooked up to the electrodes, the machine's buzzing away, the guy is asking you questions, you're sweating bullets, right? Because you ain't going to find yourself taking a lie detector test sitting in that seat, the hot seat, right? Unless there is some highly sensitive issues at hand. So you may be seated, but you ain't at rest. Follow me with that? Amen, truth seeker. Here's what I need you to know about this concept in the word dwell, which means to sit down. It's very specific as to what it means. It means to sit down in a state of rest, relaxation, repose. Okay, so I'm from East Texas, and we talk a little different down here, y'all. And so East Texas terminology for this word might be something like this: sit down and take a load off. You follow me with that one? Take a load off. Let me see if I can make it even more clear. I work a regular job. God gives me this blessing of ministry. It's full-time ministry, but it's not one that we draw a paycheck from. So work another job. I'm an RN. I'm a home health nurse for Kelton Home Health out of Atlanta, Texas. And Brother Ryan and Holly Kelton down there, and I love working for them, and they give me a chance to minister as I work, right? And so it's a beautiful marriage of who I am and what I am and what I do. And so work is work, and you're dealing with people, and sometimes it's a blessed day, and sometimes you come home worn out, frazzled. Frazzled's a good word. You ever worked hard all day long and you get home at the end of the day and you feel like you worked your fingers to the bone, but you don't know that you really accomplished anything? Right? You worked and worked, but you don't know that you really got anything done. Those days will exhaust your brain as well as your body. And I'm kind of drawing a little bit of a hypothetical here, but everybody's experienced that. So you get home at the end of one of those work days, and I'm walking to the front door of the house, right? And really what I'm hoping in the back of my mind is that the kids are not home. I love my kids. I love being with my kids. I love hanging out with my kids. But sometimes you just need quiet, please. And so you come to the front door thinking, I hope everything is quiet. And you walk in, and everything you're holding in your hands, you just drop as soon as you walk into the door. Kaplunk. Hits the ground, right? You take one step, and you leave a shoe behind. You take another step, you leave the other shoe behind. All right? If it's wintertime, at your next step, the jacket is coming off, the coat is coming off, it's laying on the floor, I'll go pick all that stuff up in a little bit. Where am I headed? I'm cutting a trail. I'm making a trail, leaving shoes and clothes and odds and ends that I'm carrying behind in this trail. And where am I headed? I'm headed to my chair, to my recliner. All right? And I'm not about to go up to that recliner and gingerly and gracefully softly sit down. No, I'm worn out. I'm about to plop. I'm just glad that my chair has got some steel in it, y'all. Right, it's a heavy duty one. It's a big boy. I'm 6'4", 230 pounds. I don't have a little chair. Got a big chair. And I'm about to crash into that thing. I'm about to just let it drop. You know what I'm talking about. And when I sit down, I'm not going to cross one leg over the other and have good posture. No, I'm about to melt into that thing, and you're going to hear this sound if you're in the living room. Anybody ever felt that day? Right? I'm going home, and for a little while at least, I'm about to just let it drop. Take a load off. That is this word, dwell, right here in chapter 91, verse 1. It's like collapsing into the chair after a hard day's work. The Bible says, he who dwells. So we can say it this way. He who sits down in the secret place. He who rests, sits down and rests in the secret place of the Most High. Now, what was the secret place, right? It was the Holy of Holies. It really represents the place of the presence of God. It's where God's presence consistently is. So we can make these substitutions in this verse and help us understand it better. He who sits down and rests in or within the presence of the Most High. Okay. And that sounds all good and great, David. I appreciate that. It makes a lot of sense now. I'm understanding where you're coming from. Here's the problem. Most of us won't sit. We aren't people that like to sit. We'll sit for moments. We'll sit down in the presence of God now and then. But we don't like to remain seated. And this is a permanent, continuing action of sitting down and staying seated in this resting position. You have to understand that. That's what this word means. Have a seat, sit down, take a load off. Now, stay there. Stay in repose. Stay in a relaxed, rested seat in the Holy of Holies, in the secret place. In other words, in my presence. But we aren't people that like to sit. I've got to draw you a picture here so that you can understand the reason that we have all of these promises in Psalms 91 available, but we don't access them. And here's what it really looks like. Remember me telling you about all the work and all the people hanging out in the outer court? That's where we spend a lot of our lives. Working hard in the outer court. Now, what were they doing there? They were working on sacrificing and working on their sins and working on their problems in the outer court. But we aren't Old Testament tabernacle. We are New Testament tabernacle. New Testament tabernacle doesn't have to work on sins anymore. We don't have to work on sacrifices anymore because Jesus was what the Old Testament tabernacle was all about. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament work in the tabernacle. He is the sacrifice that God has been waiting for this whole time. And all the symbolism of all these animals in the Old Testament were pointing toward the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It was Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross when he said, "It is finished." He atoned for all sin of all time. No more work necessary in the outer court. No more work necessary in the outer court of the tabernacle. But what do? We, as modern day post-Calvary Christians, spend the great majority of our time in the outer court, working our fingers to the bone, trying to perform to please God when he's already pleased with the work that Jesus has already done. We work, and when life gets crazy and comes down on us and we don't know what to do and we can't fix this problem, then we turn and we run into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is, and we say, God, I'm tired. I can't fix this. I'm worried. I'm scared. Will you help me? And in the presence of God, we find what we need. And he says, yes, I'm glad you finally showed up. I've been hoping you would get here. Here's everything you need. Here's the problem fixed that you needed. And we say, thank you, God. I'll see you after a while. We run back into the outer court and start working again. And when life comes down and falls apart and chaos reigns supreme, we run back into the Holy of Holies looking for another blessing, looking for another promise, and God gives us what we need, and we run back out again, and we won't come in and sit down and stay. We are determined to go out into the outer court and work for our effect when God is saying, get in my presence, sit down, the work's already been done. Why don't you have a seat and enjoy the benefits of the relationship that Christ has provided for you? I don't need you working out there anymore. The job is complete. Have a seat. We run into the secret place to get what we think we need in a difficult moment. Listen to this. You don't have to constantly run to God if you're already sitting in his presence. So we miss consistent access to the promises that are always available because we're running back and forth and back and forth when we could be seated, resting in his presence. And the song by the group Casting Crowns says this: I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. And I tell you this, don't just come when you need a drink. The psalmist said, he who dwells in the secret place gets all that the presence of God has to offer. Come on in. Take a load off. Have a seat. Don't get up. Stay here. Come back next week. We're going to talk about that seat. Keep seeking the truth now.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.